Freedom Fiends live musical extravaganza talk show broadcasting from the State Deprogramming Center's low orbit ion cannon ship in the Alpha Centauri region, keeping a sin flood of statism out of your brain by bombarding your cortex and reprogramming your neurons and dendrites with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Chandler? Can you feel it working?
Wow, I can feel it.
Yeah, yeah. So did you vote today, Chandler?
No.
Why not? If you don't vote, you can't complain. That's what I heard.
Well, you know, I swore that I wasn't going to do the whole...
Don't swear. It's radio.
Yeah, well, that I wasn't going to do the whole ranting thing on the interwebs today.
Yeah, you can.
And, you know, I just got bombarded with the whole, get out the vote. And honestly, I was a little, I don't know, I almost had to call you as one of my
Liberty sponsors.
Yeah. You know, I was very tempted.
Really?
With the bond issues, you know, being robbed and having to spend money. And there was an issue up here in Maine for hunters that some group wanted to ban baiting and trapping for bears. It's totally ridiculous. And we can go into that a little bit later. But, you know, I came to the conclusion that even voting in self-defense is still immoral to me. And
yeah.
I posted a long rant on Facebook and Twitter Google Plus and all that stuff. And I actually got a lot of feedback on it. I was kind of surprised. One of the things I said was, one of the most common points of view that I see expressed is if you don't vote, you can't complain. And to me, that's just a logical fallacy. And I'd actually argue the opposite.
Yeah. If you don't vote is the only piece, that's the only people that are allowed to complain, I think.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because they're not contributing and legitimizing the system that is enslaving them. You know, and I said, put aside for a moment the fact that voting results are regularly manipulated or downright ignored.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's something that people point out a lot, people who vote, like, we need to fix the system. And it's like, but then those people vote anyway, and they completely forget that aspect when they vote. Like, yeah, that, you know, there's probably just some, you know, somebody on Obama's staff just sitting there determining the results on his BlackBerry or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you put aside that fact that they just ignore it half the time, I mean, if you vote, to me, that's a participation in the system that's immoral, it's violent and coercive. You're giving it legitimacy and consent for it to continue.
Yeah. And
I really don't understand the need for people to choose and or change their slave masters. I mean, how does that promote any semblance of freedom?
Yeah. We're all going to be in the Alpha Centauri region, taken up in the big ship within 3.5 years, all the Freedom Fiends co-hosts anyways, because I don't know if a lot of, I don't know if we have a lot of new listeners. Oh, and I want to welcome a new station, WPBQ. Good evening, Jackson, Mississippi. WPBQ has been carrying us for some time, on Sundays, but they're now taking an hour of the evening show 5 nights a week. So that's pretty cool. I like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
Yep. And we're also starting on a station this Sunday in New Orleans and Slidell, Louisiana. I mean, that's going to be our biggest. We're on 34 stations now, but that one alone is the biggest market we're in. Yeah.
We're spreading like wildfire.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. Welcome, Jackson.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me like instead of choosing slave masters, why not choose self-rule?
Yeah.
Like, voting, to me, it's a scam that is presented to the general populace to give them the illusion of choice and prevent revolt against the current oligarchy.
Tell me more.
Well, okay, so voting is the idea that most people are corrupt and will make bad choices. So we should take the most psychopathic among them and choose them to lead us. I mean, how does that make sense? We've been doing this for, 200 plus years in this country alone. How's that been going? I mean, if you look, even if you have your minarchist hat on for a second, we are far, far less free than we used to be. I mean, just think of how many permits and licenses we need to engage in everyday lawful and natural activities.
My concealed carry permit license is up for renewal. I'm debating renewing it.
As am I.
Well, I have a luxury that you probably don't have, which is that in Wyoming, I can conceal carry without a permit now. That's new as of after I got my permit. But the permit enables me to legally carry in many other states, too.
So yeah.
I probably will bite the bullet and do it.
And that's the thing. It's so hard.
We have a longer leash in Wyoming for gun rights because a concealed carry permit to renew here is like $40 and it lasts 5 years. Whereas like, I don't know, there's states where it's like $160 and it only lasts a year or something like that.
Yeah, I think in Maine it's 3 years and it's $30.
Did you know in California, a concealed carry permit, if you can get one and keep it, ma'am, because they're pretty hard to get most places there. Concealed carry permit in California, in some places or maybe the whole state, is tied to a specific serial numbered gun.
Yeah, I heard that.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like for me, if I'm going carry, I mean, it's kind of like me picking the gun when I leave the house is kind of like a lady picking her shoes. Like, oh, what do I feel like today? What am I in the mood for today?
Yeah, I've felt the same way. I mean, I have several different firearms that I carry. I mean, I generally stick to one or two.
Yeah.
But it's nice to mix it up every once in a while. And, you know, I never understood the whole, even from a young age, I guess I had that rebellious spirit in me, which is probably why I got kicked out of Catholic school. But
I got kicked out of Episcopal school, which is like Catholicism with half the guilt. It's Catholicism light.
Well, there you go. See, we've been destined from the start. And
did you know that about me? I did not know that about you.
I think I heard you talking about that on a show before. Well, I remember you went to the private school too.
Yeah.
And they didn't like your free thinking there.
No, they were not fans of, yeah. And you know, people say like people are big fans of private schools as opposed to public schools. And my private school was better than a public school, but except for being better than a public school, it was identical to a public school. It was the same model, you know, it was the same show up the same place at the same time, sit in neat little rows and do rote memorization. It just had better teachers and it had a, better ratio of, you know, the classes were like 15 students instead of like 40.
Well, I found too, with the Catholic school I went to, I think the curriculum was a little more focused. And like you said, the ratio was a little bit better. Because when I went to public school, I was a little bit ahead of a lot of the other students. So
yeah. Whereas there's a lot I don't like about that Prussian model of school, you know, which is basically to train compliant soldiers and factory workers. And it doesn't really apply in an information society. I mean, to me, my education is constantly continuing. I'm actually on the internet reading about dendrites and frontal lobes as you're talking about voting. I mean, I'm still going to college right now. I'm 50 and I'm sitting here. Well, because I wrote this funny little rant to open the show with the last couple of days, because I'm really sick of saying, broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. So I wrote another one. And I was thinking about this. I said, bombarding your cerebellum. And I was thinking like, the cerebellum is a part of the brain that like controls motor impulses. I'm not trying to make it an unholy army of the darned. You know, I don't want to create zombies here. I want to create thinking people that think better. So I was looking at which part of the brain is responsible for that. So I said frontal lobe, which is actually the part that has a lot of the pleasure centers in it. So I'm going to leave that in. And I'm reading about dendrites now. So go on. Sorry. Where were you about voting?
Well, I guess I never understood the necessity to ask for permission to engage in everyday activities.
You rebel.
Well, that's me. And, you know, the other thing that really bothered me, like we were talking earlier, is even voting in self-defense is flawed. Because if the state doesn't like the results of a ballot initiative or an elective, they just ignore them. I mean, case in point, look at the feds going after growers and users of marijuana in Colorado. And that was even after the state, quote unquote, legalized it.
Yeah.
So to me personally, and I really hate to come off as preachy because I know that turns a lot of people off. Like, I'm holier than you because I'm a libertarian and I know what's better. whatever works for you works for you. But for me, it would be far more effective for folks to work voluntarily outside of the system to affect real change in their communities and in their own lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a friend of mine who, you know, she said, "Geez, I really feel you. You know, I hear what you're saying." And she goes, I'm tired of those people in government stealing our resources and stealing our money and just doing things we don't like. And she's like, I reluctantly went and voted on the ballot initiatives. And you know, I didn't berate her for it. I said, you know, I actually know what you mean. I was tempted to do that myself. I couldn't do it morally. And I, you know, I was trying to explain that to my dad. I mean, like, one of the big things for me is, hunting licenses and days you hunt. It's just,
oh, it's permission to kill the king's deer.
Yeah. And I don't understand that. Like, the argument used is, well, you have to get a hunting license so that the deer community, the deer population deer is community. Upheld.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They have, and you know, I do buy some of the idea of, you know, having some sort of planning, not central planning, but, you know, not just going out and slaying animals to extinction. Right. However, that thought is codified into statism to the point where, like, you know, if somebody who's starving and trying to feed their family takes 7 deer that year instead of 6, you know, their neighbors still want to just, like, turn them in and have them put in prison, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, like, whether or not I were to get a permission slip, I wouldn't poach animals, you know? Yeah.
All right. This is the Freedom Feeds. We'll be back after this trip to the market. And I will try my... I've improved my opening for the show. I'll try it when we get back as if it's the opening of the show.
Worms. We'll
come back with it. Worms. Wormed. Wormed.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
The computer needs to be talked to or it'll feel bad. That's what cats think when they see us talking into our microphones, doing radio shows. They don't know there's another person on the other end. And they don't know there's thousands of people out there listening. They think that the cats, our cats think we're talking to the computer. Or maybe to them. I don't know. What'd you say about your cats when you do a show, Chandler?
Well, you know, for a good part of the day, they'll ignore me even when I get home. You know, yeah, one of them cats may come up and, you know, give me a nod and then walk off. But as soon as I sit in this chair and get set up, they're just all over me. Like my oldest cat, he's cuddled up in my lap, and the kittens on the back of my chair just kind of hanging out, looking around. So yeah, they like it.
Yeah. So let me try this again. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, a satellite in the Alpha Centauri region near LibPair 2099, keeping a sin flood flow of statism out of your brain by bombarding your frontal lobe and warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it, Chandler? Can you feel it working?
I can.
Okay. Yeah. So you got your sound effects now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had to throw in something.
Yeah. We're kind of, you know, I don't mind putting in some of the accoutrement of Morning Zoo Crew Radio. I kind of want to, like, have that kind of stuff without screaming and without all the, like, jumping, you know, just that stuff just, it bothers me. Screaming on the radio bothers me, or a constant diet of it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to listen to a West Coast, rather popular conservative talk radio host, and he was entertaining, but one of the things that used to drive me nuts is he would just get on that microphone and start screaming about the horrible liberals, and it's like, okay, man, I get it, just relax a little, you know? You screaming at me isn't going to drive your point home any better. So, you know, going back to the voting thing, I was driving to work today, and amongst the litter that is campaign signs, I saw one really funny one that I took a picture of and posted. And it's a white sign, rectangle, with American flag at the bottom.
Of course,
and
instead of course.
Instead of stars, it's got all the corporations' logos, and it says, God bless the corporations for giving us candidates. And I thought, well, you know, truth in advertising.
You know, that's that icon, that set of imagery has been pretty popular lately, past year or so on the interwebs. But it's not new. There was something really similar to that. It might have been a flag with corporate logos on it or something very similar to that in a booklet that came with a dead Kennedy's record in like 1979 or 80 or 81. And it was the artist who did that stuff. His name is Winston Smith, named after the main character in 1984.
Yep. Yeah. So one of the other things that really struck me today, I was on Facebeefs, and Ozzy, he's now on Facebook, and he posts once in a while, or one of his minions. Ozzy Osbourne. And, you know.
Ozzy Osbourne. I just don't care about anything that comes out of his mouth if he's not singing it.
Right. Well, so basically.
He's an idiot when he talks, and he's great when he sings.
Right. Which always boggled my mind. But he just posted a picture of him rejoicing on stage with one of his amazing guitarists and the lyrics to a song I would highly recommend people listen to called Can't Kill Rock and Roll. And the lyrics that he posted were, leave me alone, don't want your promises no more, because rock and roll is my religion and my law. Won't ever change, may think it's strange. You can't kill rock and roll, it's here to stay. And, you know, with all the voting and all that nonsense circulating today, that lyric just struck me. It just
resonated. I can see that, but what year is that from? And is that late Ozzy, or is that late Sabbath or early Ozzy solo?
It's early Ozzy, written with the late, great Randy Rhoads off the Diary of a Madman.
And we're not talking about the liberal female talk show host, Randy Rhoads, who retired recently. Who stole her name, borrowed her name from that guy.
Yeah, we're talking about one of the most amazing guitarists.
One of the most technically amazing guitarists at that time. There are, you know, a thing that the internet has done is really, really streamlined guitar teaching of the technical aspect of it. I mean, there are, you look on YouTube, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of like 15-year-olds that can play as well as Randy Rhoads, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this trip to the free market. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow.
Meow. Meow. Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. We're keeping a sin flood of statism out of your brain by bombarding your frontal lobe and warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it? Is it working?
I feel some worms going into my dendrites.
I think that intro worked a little better.
Yes, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
It's good to mix it up.
Yeah. A sin flood, S-Y-N-F-L-O-O-D. It sounds like I'm saying S-I-N, sin flood, a flood of sin, status sin. But a sin flood is actually the kind of web attack that our website got over the past bunch of days that did nothing. Yeah,
people bulletproof.
Yeah, well, I don't want to brag that, but we threw some more lobsters and sharks and alligators into the moat, and I think we're good. Who knows, man? I mean, you know, it's kind of like basically the thing with people like that who don't like your free speech because they believe in things that you tend to talk about that are negatively on the air. You know, when you speak truth, people fight back and they fight dirty. And the thing is with that kind of stuff, there has to be a result for the crackers trying to take it down. And if there's not, they'll try something else. You know, I think it's just going to work up to a bullet in my brain because that's the only thing that's going to stop me from talking truth to power or truth to false power.
Well, yeah, the people that were unhappy about the content of the shows as of late that were attacking the website, to me, that's acting just like the government.
Oh, it's
that's
totally acting like the government.
Crypto
man.
Violence.
Yeah, it is.
Silence dissent.
I'm sure I'm sure they look at it as self-defense, but they're wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't see how you would, but you know, it's interesting. One of the videos I saw floating around today, and I'm not going to diss it because it's actually a really good video. A lot of people were posting good old Steffi's The Truth About Voting.
Oh, wait, which... I didn't want to go there, man. I'm going to have to hit the cuss dump. Let's change topic. Seriously.
Yeah. So
I want to be free of that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I
Don't cuss on my radio show. Okay, so go back to voting.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, talking to friends, family, I actually made a comment to a friend this morning and it sounded pretty goofy and funny. She was like, yeah, well, I'm going out to vote, so don't lecture me. And I said, yeah, you and all my friends and family just don't get it. I said, only my internet friends get it.
No, but you know what? There's got to be something. I mean, I've talked to several people today who've been like, yeah, I voted, like, you know,
yes,
like, yeah, I got my colonoscopy, you know, kind of the same attitude. There's something wrong with a system when a large number of people that participate in it because they think they have to walk away feeling like they've just had, you know, been checked for colon cancer or something.
Well, I will say, I guess it's kind of a good sign that the pride that people used to get from voting has dissipated quite a bit as of late.
Yeah.
You know, people are just like, ugh. And I think more and more what you're seeing is people are voting in self-defense. So I think the ANCAP and libertarian philosophy is starting to make some segue because...
Oh, it is trying to make... You mean make some headway?
Headway, yes. Yeah. That's what I meant. And
it is because you've got things like Barack Obama saying, you know, there are people out there who say, don't trust the government. The government doesn't do anything wrong. Well, they're wrong. And I'm here to tell you why the government is good for you. Like, even the fact that he has to address that means that, I mean, really, like 10 years ago, libertarianism was so marginalized. Not only did presidents not have to address it, like the average person didn't even know what it was, you know?
Right. Well, I guess the biggest theme that I've seen today, again, comes down to that I'm going to use the violence of the state and voting in self-defense to protect me against my neighbors who want to rob me and impose their will on me.
Yeah.
So they're getting there. They're kind of halfway there, you know. And
About a tenth of the way there, but most people aren't even that far away. So it's helping. It's getting there.
Well, and you know, one of the things I've noticed, and this is nothing new, but especially when you look at local initiatives and state initiatives, voting is such a tricky process. I was talking to my dad and he asked me, so what? And he's like, I just went and voted. And he's like, so what do you think about the bond initiatives? He's like, what about the bear trapping one? And the way that they word these initiatives is very confusing. And people would say, well, that's just legal speak. No, I disagree. I think they word them.
Oh, it's intentional.
It's intentional.
So even the fact that they use the word bear baiting, what do they actually mean in that? They mean like putting out food to attract a bear and then hunting them?
Yes.
Because that's not really bear baiting. Like animal baiting means like, let me look it up. You talk a little bit. It means something closer to dog fighting, I think.
The issue is so confused in Maine. I mean, there are people that was their one issue this election cycle, and they're very passionate about it, and they could speak to it far better than I could. But
dog baiting is the act of using dogs against a chained or confined animal for sport. And that is, and it's, you know, there's also variations of it. I think badger baiting, there's rat baiting, there's human baiting, dog baiting. Yeah. Bear baiting. Let me see if the definition of bear baiting, it's the worrying or tormenting of bears. So,
yeah, see, and that's not it. I mean, a lot of people in Northern Maine, especially, they will, they'll have the traps, you know, the ones that you put the meat or whatever in, and then it clamps down on them.
Those are horrible.
Yeah, they are horrible. But that's only one method of baiting and trapping for bears. And a lot of people hunt with rifles. You know, they hunt bears with rifles. And the fact of the matter is this is just, I look at it totally different. Like, people are like, this is to promote the, to prevent cruelty to the bear population. Well, that's really not what it's about. It's one more step. You know, the government will say, well, we don't want to take guns away from hunters. They're totally
want to take hunters away from guns.
Exactly. Well, they do, though. Like,
oh, I actually saw, you know, in the UK, they say guns are totally illegal in the UK. They technically aren't. I mean, if you jump through a whole bunch of hoops, you know, and join a gun club and, have never, you know, run a red light and keep your gun there and pay a lot of money, you know, you can have a, you can go shoot clay pigeons in a designated area with a two shot, you know, break action shotgun. And I actually, and they're actually trying to outlaw that now. And I saw a meme the other day. It was a poster going around the internet that was made by some English gun lovers who, you know, are down to going to a place where they have to keep their gun locked up and shooting at clay pigeons. And the poster says, it, you know, it's an appeal to people who are trying to ban it. And it says, like, I can see you not wanting us to kill animals, but do you have a problem with shooting inanimate objects? And it was like, vote yes on blah, 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 or something, or talk to your MP, your member of parliament. And it's like, yeah, you still have your right. That's what they're trying to do in America, is like, technically still have the right to keep and bear arms on the books, but, you know,
it's almost impossible.
In the sense that, you know, the average person technically has the right to own a, you know, Formula One racing car, but probably doesn't.
Yeah. And can you drive it on the roads? You know,
and it costs like $1 million in the upkeep, and you need a crew and all, you know, it's like they're trying to do that with guns.
Well, and I really do believe that this is just yet another tactic in the state's arsenal to make owning guns harder. You know, if they slowly wear away the rights of hunters, then they're one step closer. Because according to the government, the Second Amendment is just for hunting and sport.
Yeah, I got to say, though, you know, what I'm about to say comes off as, well, I get to have a longer leash in Wyoming. But it's more like I'm more entertained by the politicking in Wyoming than other places. And it doesn't make me go, ugh, as often, especially with guns. There was a bill about 4 years ago in Wyoming that almost passed. Now think about this. It almost passed. It was a bill to legalize deer hunters and antelope hunters carrying a second gun with them that was a machine gun to protect themselves against bears.
That is quite entertaining.
Yeah, it's so entertaining that it actually, like, it didn't become a joke on Saturday Night Live, but it became a joke. It was a joke on the show within the show on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which was a takeoff on Saturday Night Live. You know, it was kind of like, right, it was like 30 Rock, but more serious and better written.
Well, I know that's not that far-fetched, although the machine gun thing, that's an interesting aspect. I mean, I know people that hunt up north and hunt in Alaska that, aside from their rifles, will carry 44 magnums on their hips just in case a bear gets into close proximity.
Yeah, I mean, bears are the sharks of the land. They are killing machines that Yeah. Shooting them with a rifle won't necessarily kill them. Depends where you hit. I mean, it'll kill them, but it'll give
slowly.
Them they'll have a minute to, you know, eat you, and then it'll kill them.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's really weird about this whole initiative with the bear thing is, even though I said that I think it's aimed at eroding gun rights, one of the groups that came out opposed to this and said this is totally ridiculous was the Maine Warden Service and some local law enforcement up north, because they said this will increase the bear population and will make it so they are less, not fearful, but they are more, I guess,
bold.
Brave, bold. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for, to go out into the more urban areas up north, and it'll have far-reaching consequences.
Wait, consequences. What is the it in the sentence? What will have those consequences?
Banning the trapping and baiting of bears.
Okay.
So, it's hard when representatives came out for that, you know?
Yeah, when people talk politics and it's all one side or the other, and people get into discussions of it. I notice this a lot with people talking about their issues and they're really passionate about something. At some point I just go, wait, what's the subject in this paragraph? You know, yeah. Like, what is the, it, are they for it or against it? And what are they for or against? So
yeah,
I'm for freedom, man. I'm for being left alone.
Leave me alone. Don't want your promises no more.
Where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends, bear baiting your brain with truth. So, Chandler, tell me where the government touched you in bad places. Show me on the doll where the voting process touched you.
I don't want to talk about it.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I guess my cousin, when I posted my long rant, commented saying, oh, that's so awesome. You're so wonderful and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, thank you. But this is not anything profound, what I'm saying. This is This is basic ANCAP and libertarian philosophy. And it surprises me that it doesn't resound with more people. And I think it does on a subconscious level, because like, and I don't want to say it in an insulting manner, but my dad, for instance, is he's kind of statist. You know, he used to be a really hardcore liberal, which was a source of contention in our household, because I used to be a really hardcore conservative. You know, even he's starting to get it. He will concede to me, you know, well, I don't see, I guess you're right. You know, I guess you shouldn't have to get a license to do these things. And yes, they're all corrupt and they're all going to steal our money somehow, but there's always that, but, you know, I think that using the word, but, to say, but if we don't have this system, it's an excuse. And to me, complaining on the internet is, it's kind of lazy a lot of times if that's all you're doing.
Complaining on the radio is less lazy because it takes a lot more effort to get on radio.
It sure does. And you have to follow a show clock, and you have to not cuss, and you have to be very attentive to your subject matter. So yeah,
you can't cuss, even though most of what you talk about makes you want to do nothing but cuss.
Oh, tell me about it. You know, so it's, I think complaining in of itself on the internet, it is kind of lazy, but you know what I think is also very lazy, and I don't understand why it's such a source of pride, is voting. Because all you have to do is go into your little booth and mark off your suggestions, and that's it. And then your civic duty is done. Well, no, my civic duty is trying to establish relationships with people in my community, trying to get local businesses to be more conducive to bartering. Exactly. Bitcoin.
Have you done that? Have you tried to get local businesses to take Bitcoin?
No, because sadly, I'm not really on the Bitcoin wagon yet. Really? I'm not doing well. You know, I like the silver thing. Like, if by chance a deer wandered into my line of fire this year, I got one. One of my very, very good friends is a butcher, and I don't have a lot of disposable income at the time right now. So what I would do is pay him in some silver that I have saved up, and he'd gladly take it because he's really cool like that, you know. I could do computer work for him too if I needed to. So it's things like that, you know, bartering, trading, using resources and skills voluntarily, you know, combining them, exchanging them, adapting them in our local communities. I think that's what's going to save us. You know, I understand the argument. Without the government, there would be absolute chaos and blood in the streets. And like you've said many times, I think that would, yes, there would be an adjustment period where people would not know how to react. But that would dissipate very, very quickly. And I think you would see groups of people band together, because not everyone out there, most of the people I know, the only sort of violence they engage in is the voting process. You know, they're not going to rob and cheat their friends and their family and the people in their community. They have somewhat of a conscience. They have moral standards. They just don't see how those moral standards are contradicted by their participation in this system. So I don't think you'd see a lot of that. I think you'd see a little bit. So yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Peaceful actions.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends. We're going to be back with hour two, talking about the limpness of the voting process.
The limpness.
Yeah. It's like a disease everyone signs up and clamors to get. We'll be back with more. And, you know, a lot of people aren't happy with the results of the voting, but those are the same people that yesterday were saying, you got to vote.
Yep.
What's their excuse going to be today?
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. We'll be back, Chandler and I, on hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Worms.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from the Libertarian Reindoctrinator from the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. We're keeping a sin flood of statism out of your brain by bombarding your frontal lobe and warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it, Chandler? Can you feel it working?
I feel the worms in my dendrites and synapses.
So when you vote, I mean, when you hear about voting results, you know, like we did on the news on the break, how does it make you feel when you hear about voting results?
This is what it sounds like to me, man. That's all it is to me, man.
What is that sample? Where'd you get that?
That is from the movie Evan Almighty with what's the really funny guy that played an Anchorman?
The guy that hates guns. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
he's not funny anymore.
It's when he makes him talk gibberish on the air.
Yeah.
He's a newscaster.
You know, there's a lot of movies about writers because writers write movies, but it seems like the second most common occupation, other than like the status stuff, like soldier and cop and stuff, but and FBI guy and CIA guy, it seems like the second most common thing movies are about is TV personalities.
And
a few about radio personalities. I've been watching all the old Frasers. I kind of like those a lot. They turn my brain off in a cool way.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't do much TV anymore. I do have a guilty pleasure, and some people just can't even believe that I watch it, but I really like the Trailer Park Boys. Have you ever watched that show?
I'm familiar with it. I'm not a fan.
It's total nonsense, but it's kind of funny. But you know, I don't watch a lot of TV now that I've gone through House of Cards and
the bar has been raised the past 5 years. Yeah,
it really has. Although I did start, per your suggestion, I started Orange is the New Black.
And it's really good.
I guess I need to watch more of it. The first episode, I had very mixed feelings about it. It didn't really grab me, but I'm going to give it a shot. You know, I've only watched one episode, so we'll see how it goes. And I've heard, too, when I was at Porkfest, because I'm a sci-fi fan, and a lot of my friends up there were saying, have you ever seen the show Firefly? You need to watch Firefly.
It's great, but I watched it all the way through and then watched the movie and then never went back and watched it again. Whereas, like, House of Cards has been out far less time, and I've watched it 3 times all the way through. And Breaking Bad, I've watched 2 or 3 times all the way through. And House, I've watched twice all the way through. Even 30 Rock, I've watched twice all the way through.
That's a show I've never watched.
You know what I think really raised the bar for TV? I hate to say it. I think The Shield. I think the show The Shield was really instrumental in raising the bar of like gritty, not usual coverage of things, more like things really are. I mean, I can't really watch it anymore because the cops are the heroes and they're bad cops among cops. I mean, they're cops that like, you know, kick in doors, steal a kilo of coke and then sell it to some other drug dealer. But it's always for the purpose of good. But actually, it kind of spins out to the end to where nobody's doing anything good. And okay, spoiler alert. I can say something, you know, that concluded a TV show that happened, you know, ended 5 years ago. If you haven't seen it, cover your ears for a minute. You know, by the end of it, it's the team of cops, the four main characters that you grow to care about throughout the whole series. You know, one of them murders the other one with a hand grenade and then ends up shooting himself in the mouth and killing himself on the toilet. So it doesn't end well. And then the other one, and then the third one ends up in prison. And then the fourth one, you're like, he's the main hero anyway. He's got to get out okay. He ends up being taken off the street and like basically he's facing like 7 lifetimes in prison, but he cuts a deal with the FBI where he gives all this dirt on these other people and ends up getting a job working for the Department of Homeland Security at a desk.
Of course, and
it's like, you know, the last scene is him alone in the office having to wear a suit, which he's never had to do before. And you know, he, he hears like he hears a siren outside, and he kind of gets up like a dog hearing its dinner bell, you know, but no, he's strapped to this, you know, he's basically castrated by having to be a desk guy.
So it ends showing his undoing and his demise.
Yeah. Well, it actually ends with him, opening up his drawer and pulling out his gun, and you kind of think he's going to kill himself, but he just holsters it and, goes home.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched, The Sopranos?
Oh, I loved it. Watched that all the way through too. But you know, yeah, I had a real hard time the second time through with that because I had gone full on, you know, libertarian, believing anarcho-capitalist, believing, internalizing in my, to my innermost, conceding to my innermost self that the non-aggression principle is the way to go. And that show just, everyone in it's horrible to each other.
Yeah. See, and the thing is too, like, granted, it's been, I think, about a year and a half since I watched it through the second time, but I still love that show, despite my philosophy.
It's now, a great show. It's really well written.
Yeah, see, like, I can't watch cop shows, but I can watch that, which is just as bad.
I had a better time. I had less of a problem watching Breaking Bad because there's not so much constant people being having the crap beat out of them. There's not so many constant examples of innocent people being physically and emotionally and financially harmed. You know, there are some occasional really heinous things happening to people that don't deserve it, but most of the people in it, with a few exceptions of a few family members and that one random kid on the desert, most of the people in it who have bad things to happen have happened to them kind of signed up for it. Even like Jesse's girlfriend, you know, she knew Jesse was into some bad stuff, but she didn't leave him. And she could have, he wouldn't have gone after her. He would have said, baby, please don't leave me. But he wouldn't have stalked her. You know, she could have walked away.
Well, not only that, but she kind of played the whole thing and tried to profit off it. So she got what was coming to her. You know, it was a very weird thing. When I was watching House of Cards, the main character is reprehensible. He is horrible.
He's likable, though.
He is. And I was like, I don't want to like this guy. Well, I don't want to root for this guy. But I found myself doing it. And I was like, wow, man.
I got to say,
good writing.
I learned something making the film Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. With the interview with Jerry Stahl, who is a novelist. He's best known for one of the original writers on CSI. Actually, he was the main writer on ALF. And then, you know, he was a drug addict while working in Hollywood. And he wrote a book called Permanent Midnight, which was his autobiography about being a junkie in Hollywood. After he got clean, he wrote it. And they made a movie out of it with Ben Stiller playing him. And then he was very instrumental in making CSI what it was. He wrote for the first few seasons and then was a consultant and occasional writer for, you know, about the next five seasons. And he's done a lot of cool stuff in Hollywood, but he doesn't like to be known for, like, he wouldn't let me credit him in the movie as writer CSI. I had to credit him as novelist because, you know, that's not what he makes his bread and butter with, but it's what he likes to be known as. And, he kind of feels, you know, it's kind of like, I want to be known as a radio, you know, a radio host, but I make more money doing technical writing. You know, like, a lot of what I do is things like, some of the stuff has my name on it. Some of it is like, you know, I'm given a page of like Chinglish, like, you know, Chinese technical manual stuff for a VCR, you know, for a DVD player, a Blu-ray player. It's translated by the Chinese badly into English. And then I have to make it make sense in English. And my name never appears on it, but it's read by 5 million people. You know, I mean, that's like what I do for a living. But I don't ever tell people that. I've never even said that on the radio. I've said I do some technical writing and I've mentioned some books I write, but that's not what I do for a living, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. But Jerry Stahl said in his book that he met Hubert Selby Jr. When he was writing Permanent Midnight. And he asked him to look at a draft of it. And he looked at a few chapters of it and he said, it's a really good story, but I don't like the main character, which is kind of a bizarre thing to tell the guy. Cause the main character is the guy who's handing him the papers. You know, it's an autobiography. And he said, you know, no matter how effed up someone is in a book, you have to be able to like them or you have to be able to root for them. And that's about the most important lesson I've ever learned as a writer or a storyteller, an oral storyteller too, is like, you know, even a true story, you have to not even necessarily embellish, but tell it in a way that makes people want to care about what happens to the guy. And I care about what happens to the main character in House of Cards, which is really sick because he's a Democrat congressman who literally has murdered people with his own hands to get his way.
Oh, yeah. He goes way beyond sociopathy. He is a psychopath.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, is he is the MC of the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year.
And, isn't that funny?
And there's a video out that's like a 5-minute teaser for it. You know, a couple years ago, that thing is a big deal. It's every year. You know, everybody who needs anybody goes to it in media and in politics. And the big news of it was a bunch of years back. Stephen Colbert was the MC of it. And he gave a kind of funny, not that funny, but kind of funny speech. Just totally lambasting George W. Bush while George W. Bush was sitting 5 feet away from him on the dais.
Right.
But, you know, I think, and I don't think Bush was happy before that to even have him on there. I think they were, you know, they were like, well, the kids like him. Okay, we'll have him. But, yeah. So there's a 5-minute video up on YouTube that's Kevin Spacey in the character of Frank Underwood, or F.U., as he's known in that story, Frank Underwood. Yep. Did you ever notice that?
I did.
When they show his cuffs. When they show his cufflinks. Yeah. But he's, he's emceeing that. And there's a video out now that has, like, you know, a bunch of members of Congress in the video. Like, it's supposed to be them all talking to him on the phone, arguing about who gets tickets and who gets the front row seats there. But it's funny. It's like the best, it's the only thing good Congress has ever done was be, you know, the brunt of jokes in that video.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, you got to laugh at that stuff sometimes. And yeah, it kind of bothered me to a certain extent that I found myself rooting for him so much. But, you know, I mean, that show was so well written. That just kept me on my seat. Like, there was many, many moments where my jaw just dropped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
A worms.
Eight.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shibes YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. trueshibes.com.
Yeah. You liking that effects unit I gave you there?
Dude, I love this thing. You're so awesome.
Yeah, I just sent a tube preamp to Garrett.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, now I actually have a list of fiends I haven't given presents to. I've given presents to most of them, but I've got a list of four that I'm like, well, maybe I have to give them something someday. I also gave Ben Stone a tube preamp a couple years ago. Yeah. So don't think you're definitely going to get something just because you're a fiend. I really can't do much for, if it's audio gear, I can't really do much for people that don't have a mixer. If they're just using a USB mic, I can't help them. So
yeah,
everyone needs to get mixers, and then maybe eventually I'll give you rack mount gear. All right. So I want to play a new ad. This is for my friend Jim Jesus's board game, card game, Libertarians Against Humanity, which he's actually raising money to do physical decks of. He's had a couple decks made, you know, as tests, and they look great. And he's actually raising money on Indiegogo, and he's raised $150 of $1,000 he's trying to raise the first day. And you can go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com. And we've played this game a bunch on the show last month. And let me go ahead and just play the ad that we're starting tonight. This is pretty cool. This is MK Lords did the talking on this one.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms. What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defooed yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience dropped blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
That's great.
Yeah, do you like that?
Against libertarians.
By libertarians, for libertarians, against libertarians.
Yep. Yeah, I like that.
Yep. Because if you can't laugh at yourself, the statists win. Yeah. So I'm really psyched about that, man. People should go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com, check it out, make a donation if you can. And you do get perks if you make the donations. You get physical copies of the cards. And if you can't donate, share it. Tell two friends. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to pick up a deck for that and have a night at Porkfest where we play that.
I think it should be on the schedule at Porkfest.
That would be fun.
Yep.
Get one of the little halls and have us all there playing.
I think it should just be Freedom Fiends with cards against Libertarians Against Humanity. Just, you know, maybe not even make it official. Just put it in the Freedom Fiends description because we're doing the show live from the media room there every night. Although I don't know if I want to encourage people to have a card game during a radio show because it might get so loud that there'd end up being yelling on the radio.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad last year. We got a little rambunctious, but
yeah. All right. I want to play the second new ad we're running. Lou and I made this one. Lou wrote it and voiced it. Here we go.
Elections are over and okay, liberty has slipped even.
This is a good one. I want to start from the beginning.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes. That would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing, you know, I think one of the things that separates this show from a lot of other shows out there is we know how to make fun and laugh, you know, because if you're serious all the time and it's, oh, end of the world, this and that, you get burned out, man. You got to learn to laugh. You got to learn to see the humor and just enjoy it, you know? I mean, we take things seriously. We understand that we face real challenges, but we're not going to rant and rail and just scream and be, you know, limbic system overload all the time.
Yeah. So after this segment, we're going to talk about some cool stuff about music. We're done with the voting stuff. And, you know, I actually had more notes about voting and the silliness of it. But I'm not going to save them for another day. It's kind of like, and we're not always that topical, but it's kind of like, I don't even like talking about voting, and I certainly don't want to carry it out for days, so I'm deleting those notes. I made a joke to someone today. Someone was complaining about the voting and how stupid voting was, and I said, it's election day.
Yeah.
I knew it was. I just wanted to act like I was so cool I didn't know. I wish I were so cool I didn't know.
Me too, man.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends, bear baiting the statists with liberty. Bear bait. Bear baiting's horrible. I mean, real bear baiting, not what they're voting against in Maine, which isn't really bear baiting. Isn't it just like feeding the bears and then hunting them?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you talk to. It's so convoluted, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you want to talk about something cool.
Yeah, so
what is it?
Nine Inch Nails frontman Trent Reznor basically came out and said in an article on Metal Injection, I think it was with an interview for Billboard magazine, he thinks that paying for music is a relic of an era gone by.
That's pretty rare for a wealthy musician, although maybe he's so wealthy that he doesn't have to think about it anymore.
I really sincerely doubt that. And you know, a bit of history, when Ghosts 1-4 came out, it was a totally instrumental album. Great album, by the way. He did this model where you would pay a certain amount. And I know on past shows we've talked about bitrate encoding and the quality of music. And the great thing was that you could do... Yes, we had a little kitty accident.
Is the kitty okay?
The kitty's fine, but... Okay. My making messes. So you could download an MP3 for like, I think it was like $5 or whatever. You could buy the physical album. And if you bought the physical album, the great thing was you could have your choice of MP3 encoded at 320, or you could have the DVD quality 96,000 kilohertz copy and the physical copy. So he gave you a bunch of choices. You could download the FLAC, which is lossless compression, which you don't lose any audio quality. It's compressed a little bit, so it's not as big as a wave.
Yeah, FLAC's weird, man. How is it lossless when it's smaller than wave? I don't really get that.
It's the compression algorithm. And you don't see, when you compress music to MP3, you lose all the higher frequencies above, I think it's 12,000 kilohertz. And with FLAC, it compresses it, but you don't lose the quality. If you run the audio file through a spectrum analysis, like in Audition, you can actually see in MP3 how it just tanks. The graph goes right down at that frequency. Whereas if you run the FLAC file, you can see it remains constant. That's how you can tell if, because I'm a bootleg collector. And one of the first things you'll do after you check the MD5 file is you run it through a spectrum analysis. I know, I'm talking
that's part. Birch. That's part of the experience of being an audio nerd and enjoying it. I have to scientifically test the purity of my audio drug.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. On bootleg sites, when you collect lossless bootlegs, which are no quality loss, they are very, very strict about that. And yeah, you have to provide documentation that the source of this recording is not lossless. So anyway, so he's always been forward thinking with that. And when he...
That it is not... You mean that it is lossless?
Yes.
You said it's not lossless.
That it is lossless. Thank you. So
I'm following you.
He's always been forward thinking with the whole music industry and the pay model. And when he helped Saul Williams produce his album, The Rise and Fall of Tiggy Zardust, I think it's called. Great album. If you don't know who Saul Williams is, I highly recommend you check him out. I think Nima's heard him before and he digs him. They did a model where it was pay what you think. you know, you go onto the website and you could download the audio, the album in digital format, and you could pay whatever. And I think I gave them like $10 for the album. You know, I think the suggested donation was like $3 or $5. I was like, here's $10, you know, because it was a really good album and it was worth it. So he's always been forward thinking like that. So in an interview, I'll just read the article. It says, Trent Reznor is no stranger to speaking his mind in a public forum. In an interview with Billboard recently, he said, while he thinks music is devalued if it's free, he feels like paying for music is ultimately an era gone by in human history. Keep in mind, he's speaking from an objective point of view regarding how he sees the music world moving, as well as his personal point of view with where he thinks things should be going. And this is a quote. It's something I've spent a lot of time thinking about. I think that paying for music is a relic of an era gone by. And I'm saying that as somebody who hopes you pay for music. I've spent my life trying to make this thing that now everyone thinks should be free. U2, the band, there was an incentive to get in front of as many eyes as possible. I can see what's appealing to them about that, and they're getting paid for it. There's the argument of, did it help further devalue the music? Yeah, I think it did. When you put your music on or allow your music to be put on YouTube, which is free, is that devaluing music? There's a whole generation of kids that listen to music on YouTube, and they'll suffer through the ads if there is one. They're not going to pay a dollar for that song. Why would they? It's a complex problem. So I definitely agree with this notion that music being free to stream or being as much as the price of something disposable like a cup of coffee devalues the art form a little bit. On the other hand, I see how streaming and non-ownership is disheartening to an artist given music is more of a commodity now than it is something valued and treasured in the physical and moral sense. On the other hand, I think sites like YouTube and Spotify need to exist. Without those, wouldn't piracy skyrocket? Would you have heard, and this isn't the important point right here, and I can speak to this, would you have heard of half the artists you listen to now if those sites didn't exist? So what say you? Also, buy your darn music and show some love for your artist. Now, from a personal standpoint, I will admit that I have listened to and obtained music online through various means. But generally speaking, if I like the artist, I am going to go out and support them. But I'm also one of those people that I just like to have physical copies. Like, you know, I downloaded the Guns N' Weed movie from your torrent site.
Guns and you can go to gunsandweed.com to check that out.
Yes, excellent movie. And but I also wanted a physical copy. Same with Derek J's crime spree. You know, I know you can watch the whole thing on YouTube, but when I went to Porkfest, I was
Derek
like,
Derek J's victimless crime spree.
Victimless crime spree. Yes, thank
from
you.
From Derek J's victimless crime spree. Well, just Google it. I don't know what the URL is, but I know it's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he makes a valid point, and you have to embrace technology and the growing trends, because if you don't, you're going to be stuck in the past and I think you'll be relegated to obscurity.
Yeah. And I think he's right that music is paying for music is a, you know, it's kind of, it's a vestigial organ like the government or your appendix or your tonsils. And I don't say that in a mean way, like, haha, technology has made it easy to steal and no one can catch you. I think it's more like, okay, here's an example. Salt. Salt is practically free now compared to what it was 1,000 years ago. Like 1,000 years ago, salt was money. It was used as a commodity because it was so rare. If you didn't live near an ocean and you actually need some to live, and back then you needed it to cure meat so you wouldn't die because there wasn't refrigeration. Salt was, you know, like not as valuable as gold, but pretty darn valuable. And salt now is like, I don't know, 20 cents a pound, something like that, probably 40 cents a pound. It's almost free, you know, and a pound is like a year's worth or more for a family, unless they do a lot of salty cooking. But, you know, it's, I wouldn't say music's free. I would say music is so cheap that it's kind of like the different, you know, in the 70s when a record album was $7 or $8 and, you know, that was a lot of money back then. It was like 24 now, 25, you know. That's what music was worth and people paid that for it. And then things changed. Cassette tapes came out. And of course people tried to ban them and tax them. And then VCRs came out and then, oh, all sorts of other things. And then the internet and then digital recording. And it's like, There literally is a generation coming up now that has never paid for music. And the thing is, there are ways for artists to make money. Although I think that artists have to really, I think the era of artists, a lot of artists being millionaires, multi-millionaires is a bygone era too. I think that artists that are good can still make money in any medium. You know, with music, you can tour, you can sell t-shirts, you can sell buttons, you can sell lunch pails. That's a bygone from the 70s. But, you know, all sorts of merchandising you can do. And then you can also, like, you know, people pay for licensing for a movie, which is kind of connected with copyright and trade things, but kind of not. I think that people would still find a way to do that without government guns. And the real thing that I think is coming up is service-based media delivery. Like, you know, you can download a lot of movies illegally on BitTorrent, but I don't mind paying $14 a month for Netflix because it's so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, it is. And you can download a lot of PDFs of pirated books, but my wife doesn't mind paying for books for her Kindle because the Kindle delivery system is so perfect.
And it's so quick.
And it's cheaper than a book too. You know, it's not, yes, it's not a tenth of the price of a book, but you know, depending whether it's an old book or new book or part of a series or not, you know, it's what, a probably average about a half the price of a paperback book.
It depends on the book. Like I just downloaded, I've been reading a Star Wars series cause I'm a big sci-fi nerd and I have a Kindle and, I have a ton of books and this particular book, I could not find any other place. And my local book music store had it, and it was $6.98. And I found it on Amazon for $5.24, the Kindle version. And I just said, to heck with it. And, you know, and I downloaded, because that's what I read most of my books on now. I love my Kindle.
Yep. My wife does, too, and she was really resistant to it. Like, when they came out, she's an avid reader. I mean, we have, like, four bookshelves in the basement with probably 500 books that she's read all of them at least once, some of them more than once.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, I don't want to read on a screen. I like the feel of paper. I like the snugness of a book. And I got her a Kindle she tried a Kindle out in a store and she's like, I kind of like this. And I got her one for Christmas. And
does she have the old school Kindle, the black and white?
I think it is. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the old school. It's the different model. There's a newer one now, but they still sell the old one.
Yeah.
It's not the Fire and you can't surf the web on it, but you can connect to Amazon to buy books. Yeah. Right. Oh, she loves it. She didn't want the better one. We discussed it and I got it for her for Christmas, a year and two Christmases ago. And she loves it. I mean, literally, like, you know, she reads it in the morning. She reads it at night. She reads it all the time. So, do people pirate Kindle books or do they have it sewed up?
Yes, they do. Okay. Oh, yes.
But a lot of people don't bother because it's so convenient not to. That's the service-based, that's what's going to work, is not copyrights, but services that makes us stuff so easy you don't want to pirate.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends, bear baiting the statists since 2011. All right. So real quick, before we go on to the Free State Project and their wins in the popularity contest of voting today in New Hampshire, or yesterday, we're going to talk real quick about, I was saying that the way to make money making media other than touring and selling merchandise is working with systems that work so well and cost so little that people would rather do that than pirate the stuff. Like, you know, the ads that are put on Amazon that you can, or on YouTube that you can dismiss after 5 seconds. The Netflix is one I'm a big fan of. And, you know, there are music stuff like that. I think, is Spotify a pay service?
Yeah, pay and free.
Yeah, pay and free. And have, that's another thing, too. Services should have. Smart services have free and paid versions.
Yep.
And, you know, be more like Amazon and less like the federal government, and you'll have a better chance of succeeding. Now, we were talking a little bit about Kindles, and I asked you, can people bootleg Kindle books? And you said basically, yeah, but it takes a bunch more work, which is, see, there's the thing, is like people would rather pay for the convenience. Even if things were, you know, if it were legal to do that, people still want to pay for the convenience of the neat little system that, you know, isn't going to have a virus and isn't going to take more work. And that's how it goes.
Instantaneous. Well, there's that. And the big thing for me, aside from the moral thing versus pirating, the last Star Wars book I was talking about, I could have spent an hour online trying to find a site that had it where I could get it for free. Or I could just spend $5 and have it on my Kindle in about 4 seconds.
Well, there's actually, there's this cartoon, this comic called The Oatmeal that's really funny. I really like it a lot. It's theoatmeal.com, I think. Or if you Google The Oatmeal, it's the first thing that comes up. And they had a comic, they showed, it showed like the author trying to buy the new season of, not House of Cards, what's the one that's all Dungeons and Dragons-y, you know?
I don't know.
The show with all the knights and...
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. He's trying to buy like the season of Game of Thrones that just finished on TV. Like he wants to download it and pay for it and own the copies of it or have the copies of it. And he's like, you know, he tries going to like HBO, not available in your area. Tries going to Netflix, coming next year. Click here to be alerted. Goes to Amazon, same deal. Like goes to all these other things, and then just goes to Pirate Bay, and he like has it in minutes. You know,
yeah.
Like literally, well, that's another thing, is the market, the legal market needs to be more convenient and expedient than the illegal market.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, these illegal markets have, they understand that, and that's why they're so popular, because people can have them ad commercial free. With very
that's
little.
A big issue too, and like some stuff, some TV shows especially, like they don't put out stream, you know, like you can't watch them on Netflix, you can't like buy downloads of them. You can only, still to this day, like some, you can only buy DVDs, and it's like DVDs are so much more of a hassle to use than like clicking on a file, you know. DVDs have the menu, the ads, the previews. You know, if you stop them, they have to buffer and they take a while to come back up. And I know I'm spoiled, because it's like, I remember in my lifetime when DVDs were incredibly convenient. And I was like, God, I love these, you know.
Remember VHS.
I remember VHS. Yeah, I remember before VHS. I remember a neighbor who had some like TV shows on 16 millimeter. And we thought that was cool, on film, you know, and had a projector with sound. But yeah. So I want to talk real quick about the Free State Project. They won. Well, there's the article on freekeen.com written by Ian Freeman, is alleged Free Staters win at least 15 seats in the state house. The reason he says alleged is because he doesn't know all these people, and they're being called Free Staters, members of the Free State Project, freestateproject.org. They're being called that by a Free State Project hater site called Free State Project Watch. .org. Now, I think if you have a liberty in your lifetime, move here for freedom thing like Free State Project, and you've got haters and sites devoted to watching you, I think you're doing it right. So go to freekeen.com. That's freekeene.com, and read the article. I recommend you read the article. Alleged Free Staters win at least 15 seats in the state house, and click on that related link from freestateprojectwatch.org. It's pretty funny. 10 years ago, no one knew what a libertarian was, and now they're all worried that they're going to make us be freer. Oh, my God. Thanks, Chandler. It's been a great show.
Worms.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow night with myself, Michael Dean, and Dobby Barker. That's not three people. That's two. I am Michael Dean. Freedom Fiends. Co-founder. Worms.